Okay, we are up to Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes says, "Holich batoim yelich betach." A person that goes in the way of wholesomeness, yelich betach. He has nothing to worry about. He will go with security. However, umaakesh drach, a person that is corrupt, a person who makes his ways crooked, yivodea. Okay, that's a hard word to translate in this context. Simply means, and this is the way Rashi in the Mitzvot, it means he will be broken. We're contrasting here, in the beginning of the pasuk, a person that is a tam, a simpleton, a person who is has a munah pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has nothing to worry about. Yelech betach, his way, he will go in the way of security. But the corrupt person, the individual who is corrupt, he will be broken and smashed. His way will not be betach. Let's look at the Mitzudos first, Pasuk Tes, B'tom, B'tmimus lev, a person that goes in the ways of wholesomeness. However, Ma'akesh, Ha'ma'akeim derach, a person that makes his way crooked, Leches b'rimia, who goes in the ways of deceit, who yishaver v'yiduka. V'yiduka means to be crushed. Now the word v'yivod, okay, let's look at the Mitzvah Sion. Yivodea inyan shavira. It means to be broken. Kamo v'yivoda bohem anshe sukos, that they broke. The people of Sukkos were broken, they were crushed, they were destroyed. So in that context, that pasuk clearly means to be crushed. Here's how we're using it over here as well, he'll be crushed. Rashi says, what is it? Rashi pasuk tesu ma'akesh derachav yivodeya, yishover, same translation, will be broken, v'yisyasor, and will suffer, be chastised. Kmo vayivada bohem es anshe Sukkos, he crushed, they were crushed with them, the people of Sukkos. In that context, it means the people of Sukkos were destroyed. We have here, okay, so that's the simple translation. Now, the Medrash really elaborates on the pshat of the pasuk, and it gives examples. One example is, the beginning of the pasuk is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was Hisalech lefanai veyei samim. Hashem said to Avraham, you shall go before me and be complete. And that refers to the Bris Mila. That refers to when Hashem said to him, Lech lecha me'artzcha me'latchem be'savicha la'arit ha'shareka. Avraham Avinu, he had blind faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that Hashem told him to do from the very beginning of Lech Lecha through the 10th Nisan of the Akedah of Kach Nos Pinchas Yechitcha Shohavta Es Yitzchak V'lech Lecha L'Eretz Hamoriah V'Haleo Shom Lo'ela. Every single expression of Avraham Avinu's life was one that was considered to be his Salech Lefonai V'Heyei Tamim. And the Medrash connects the life of Avraham Avinu to this very Pasuk here, Perek Yud Pasuk Tes. Avraham fulfilled what it says here, Holich Batoim, a person who walks with faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with wholesomeness, Yelech Betach, has nothing to worry, he will go in the ways of security. Avraham Avinu survived, his descendants are alive today, and he fulfilled this pasuk. Now, who is the Umaakesh Derachav Yivodea? So the Medrash gives different examples. The example it gives here, it refers to I don't have an example. I don't have a specific example, but there's another very important medrash, Shir Hashirim Rabba, that elaborates very much upon this pasuk in reference to Hananya, Mishael, VaAzaria. We once upon a time learned this in Sefer Doniel. Hananya, Mishael, VaAzaria. They were told they have to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, and they didn't know what to do. They would be thrown into a den of lions, and they went to Yechezkel for advice. They asked Yechezkel, if we allow ourselves to be thrown into the furnace, will we, not a den of lions, that was Daniel, I'm sorry, into the furnace. And they asked Yechezkel was the Navi living at the time of Hananya, Mishael, VaAzaria. And they asked Yechezkel, if we throw ourselves into the fire, will we survive? So Yechezkel in turn went and he asked Hashem. And Hashem said, no, they're not going to survive. I'm not going to do for them any favors. And then Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said, it's okay, even though Hashem is not going to save us, we're still willing to give up our lives, al kiddush Hashem. And indeed they did so, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu still saved them. Let me read you all the words, it's a little bit long, I'll just jump around in different parts of the Medrash. It's a very powerful Medrash. Here the Medrash begins, Bo Anoshim, Yizikne Yishol Lidros Hashem, Vayeshu Lufanav. Okay, this is the Pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Even though the Pasuk Sefer Yecheskel is referred to what happened in Sefer Doniel. Okay, it's very interesting where there's a cross reference between a pasuk in Navi to a pasuk to an incident in the Ksuvim. So who are the people who says this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, the end of Yecheskel, not the end, towards the end, Perek Chof, pasuk Aleph, Bohu Anoshim, individuals came forward, Mizikne Yisrael, Lidroish Es Hashem. Okay, it fits very well to this week's parsha, laying this morning, that Rivka went, Lidroish Es Hashem, Vayeshvu Lefanoi, and they sat before me. So the Medrash says, who are these people? Mi hayu, Elu, Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria. So what was the question? Omar, Yecheskel, Lefteh, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yibodesh, Elo, Elam, Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria, Mevakshim, Litim, La, Nafshim, Kodesh Hashem. They have a dilemma. They want to give up their life, Al Kodesh Hashem. The question they want to know is, Miskayim, Ata, Alehem, Elo, will you do a miracle for them to allow them to survive? Omar Loi Hashem said, Eini Miskayim Aleihem. No, I'm not going to do for them any miracles. So what happened? Kevon Dasa, when Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah returned to hear the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omrulei, Yechezkel told them, Omrulei, I'm sorry, they said to Yechezkel, Moh, Omar Locha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem say? Omar Lohem, Hashem said, too bad. Einoi miskayim aleichem lahatzil aschem. Hashem is not going to save you. Amrulo, so they said it's okay. Dein miskayim, dein she'ein miskayim, onu noisnin nafshesenu al kedusha shemo. Unbelievable. Even though Hashem is not willing to do a miracle for us, it doesn't matter. We're going to give up our lives al kedushas Hashem. They left. They left and they were then thrown into the furnace. The moment they left, even before they were thrown into the furnace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yecheskel. Nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yecheskel, Vamola Yecheskel. Savar She'enim Niskayim Aleim. Do you really think I told you the truth? Because again, this is a very bizarre medrash. Do you really think I was serious? Of course I'm going to save them. Just kidding, of course I'm going to save them. Niskayim Ani Aleim Bavadai. I'm going to save them. Unbelievable medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu jokes around. Hashem has a sense of humor.
It's a test of faith.
That's what I mean, of course, but I'm just trying to bring out the point. Ela Shavik Lahon, here's where the medrash makes the following point. This is a very powerful limud musar for us. Very practical halacha. Ela Shavik Lahon, V'lo Tema Lahon Midi. Don't tell them. A person can't live like that. A person has to realize miracles don't always happen. Let it be. Eshbaik lohoin mahalchin, here are the key words, let them be, leave them alone, let them, allow them, mahalchin al tumam, they shall travel in a way of wholesomeness. Al piderech hateva, if you throw yourself into the fire, you're not going to come out alive. That's the way you have to live. And then the Medrash concludes, hadohu dechsev choylech batoim yelech betach. That's how the Medrash concludes. It ties into this very pasuk that people who will go in a way of wholesomeness, the end will be they will go with security. Now, they were lucky. See, the Medrash is not 100% practical for us, because when it says here, seemingly according to the Medrash, Yelch Betach means they will go with security, they will be saved. But we know that's not the case today. Today, the person throws himself into the fire, it's not going to come out alive. So what then does it mean? Betach, maybe betach in the Medrash also does not mean you're going to be saved. It means you go with a peace of mind. You go with security that whatever is, the neshama remains after it leaves the body. There's nothing to worry about. The person has an obligation to live in a way of toim. Hoylech batoim, like Avraham Avinu, hisalech lefonai veye samim. Medrash Shir Hashirim Rabbah, Zayin Aleph. Okay, now, the end of the pasuk says, the makish, but a person that's crooked, yivodet. Now, there's another translation. I don't remember where I saw this, probably in the Mamloes. The word yivodet means to, like, I think what most of us thought, right, immediately means to make known, will become known, lashon of da, knowledge. But in this context, it means it will be known his plans. A person who is wholesome has nothing to worry about. Yelech betach, you have nothing to hide. They always say to people, pay attention to the news. So today, everyone is obsessed with privacy. Everyone is the government is watching you. Everything that you do, every website you visit, every telephone call you make, everywhere you walk in the street, you're under surveillance. Wherever you go, you're under surveillance. That's the way we live today. It's amazing. So people complain. It's not fair. We live in America. We have a right to some privacy. So the politicians, they respond. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. So what are they basically telling us? Hoylech batoim, yelech betach. That's the response of the people who are trying to pass these laws. Now the truth is that if you have nothing to hide, if you are a person who is honest, you have no skeletons in the closet, you don't cheat on your taxes, you don't do any crimes, you're not doing anything illegal, you're hoylech batoim, yelech betach. You'll go with security. You don't have to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. We're not going to come. We're not going to steal your money just because we know how much money you have in your bank account and we know every conversation. We know what you're planning on doing. You have nothing to worry about. So this is really, it's very fit for this generation. Now, obviously, the people they answer back, that's not true. We can be innocent. We do nothing wrong, and the breach in our privacy will lead to abuse. That's the response, but this is still, at least these words, they ring very loud in today's day and age when it comes from the people who are trying to invade our privacy for the security of the masses, and they tell the innocent people, what are you worried about? It's the ma'akesh d'rochav. It's the crooked people, the people that want to commit crimes and want to harm other people. Yivodeya, it will become known. Yivodeya, they will become known. Here it translates the word yivodeya, not to mean crushed. Their plots, their plans, their illegal activities will become known to the authorities, and the authorities can take action and punish them and save everyone else. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, I need your help in explaining what this Pasuk means. It's very difficult. I don't understand. I really can't decipher the Mitzudos. Koreitz ayin yitain atzavis. The person winks with his eyes. He gives forth sadness. However, the evil sefasayim, the foolish person the fool who uses his lips to express his plans of evil, yilavet. Yilavet means will be tired, will be worn out. Now, if I'm not mistaken, what this means to say is when someone is planning, when the intelligence community is aware that there is a plot of a crime is about to be committed, but they don't know what it is. They just, from the chatter, they pick up, they can sense there's something going on. Everyone is very nervous. They know that the window of opportunity is 1 week. So the whole week, everyone is on edge. Everyone is nervous. But if it happens right away on Sunday, let's say, whatever they were planning to do, they already did on Sunday, then yivolate, the people who did it are worn out. They're exhausted. They have brought their plan to fruition, and now there's nothing to worry about anymore. Whatever was. When a person, you're afraid of the unknown. I think that's seemingly what the Mitzvah seems to say. Maybe I'm totally wrong. You'll help me with this. Let's look at Pasuk Yud to the stuff of Koreitz Ayin. Hanerames ba'ayin. A person that winks with his eye. Lasos ra, he's planning to do evil. Lemi to a person, Azdavar Zayitin, this plan, when a person winks with his eyes, so people get a sense, they get a sense that something is about to happen. There's someone that's planning evil. Yitin it atseves, itzavon belev hanirmas, it brings sadness in the heart of the victim, the one to whom he's being hinted at. Why? Nirmas Lov ki lo yishkoit ad yigmar hadavar, because the person that's planning to do harm will not be quiet. He's full of energy. Since he has not yet gone forth with his plan, he's still full of energy, and he will not be quiet ad yigmar hadavar until he finishes his plan. Hoyov lo yhoitzi b'svasav, since he did not articulate, he did not express it with his lips. Lo nocham also, his anger has not subsided. Aval evil hamadav b'svas, but a fool that speaks with his lips, lasos horo'ah. So I think what he means over here is that once he reveals the plan, I think what he means over here is that he has actually brought forth the plan, he has spoken, the words have come forth, then oz nasa oye v'yogea, then the perpetrator is now tired, he already has expended that energy, the yoga me'asos hadavar hahu, from doing that matter. So here from the lips, seemingly the Mitzvah says that when it says here, when he speaks, speaking doesn't just mean speech. Speaking means carrying out his plan.
I don't know, that's not the way I read it.
Yeah, so good, tell me. Good, Adarav, tell me.
From explaining his plan, that already assuages his anger, and he doesn't do it.
But what does it mean, me'asos? Oz nas oyeth.
He's too tired, v'yageya me'asos, from doing this.
Of nefim, from doing it. Aha. So the just talking tires him out, planning, the speech tires him out from actually doing the plan.
Right.
Yeah. Who's worse?
It's furious, abated.
He's going to get a guy who spells out a
furious, abated from the talk.
What?
The talk,
yeah,
and doesn't have the energy that he would normally have if he hadn't exerted it that way. If he doesn't speak.
Just speech alone takes away the effort, takes away the pumped up
energy.
Yeah, the energy.
Anger.
Okay.
That's a different.
Okay, that's a very deep idea. You think the anger is given dissipates. Okay, the anger is dissipates when you say go to a psychologist, you go and you give a you speak out your frustrations. So now you're no longer going to act upon it anymore. Okay, that's an idea. I understand. So then hadavaki noch hamosa bigzoim devarav. What's gezoim mean? I don't know what that word means. His anger. Exaggeration?
Yeah, because he said, I'm going to blow up the Empire State Building.
So just saying that, be quiet, they're listening, the NSA is listening.
The guy who says I'm going to jump over the White House fence is not a threat. The guy who's murmuring and blinking and who's not saying anything,
He's the threat. But you're saying a different time, because what you're saying is the one who reveals his plan. So that's a different idea. Expending the energy is an entirely different idea than revealing your plan. Revealing your plan, I'm not going to do, because they know they're watching out for me. But expending your energy by releasing all of this frustration, this built up anger, okay, that takes yilovate. Yilovate means to become tired. He no longer will go through with his plan. They say this about the Baalei Mussar. I read this. I don't know which one. Maybe it was the Kelm, the Baalei Mussar from Kelm. Maybe it was, I don't know who, Rav Desta was from Kelm. They say that whenever they had a chiddush in Mussar, a machshava, a rayon, that made an impression upon the Mechadesh, the minig is not to tell it to anyone. Let's say you have a gevaldig gevar, you learn Parashas Toldos, and you come up with a chiddush of Mussar. You have a pshat in the pasuk that brings out a Mussar haska. So you have the urge to tell it to your talmidim. You go to yeshiva, I want to tell you a good vart. The Baalei Mussar did not reveal their vertloch, their chidushim, until the end of their lives. Why? Because it's human nature. When you tell someone a vart that you think is chashuv, the other people don't react the same way. You tell the talmidim, they tell, it's not enes. It's not a good vart. It doesn't make any sense. And then what happens? That rubs off on the one that the mechadish, on the one that thought of the idea. If you don't like it, then you're right. It must be that it's not such a good idea, and the person is deflated. And when he's deflated, it no longer makes a roshim. It no longer has an effect upon himself. So that's really true of here as well. If you go and you say out something, you speak out something. Sometimes you deflate it. The machshava you had originally no longer in your eyes is such a great idea. I have a great idea, and you can run around for years believing that this is the next best thing to the world. If you tell it to someone, they laugh you out, then you're deflated. No longer do you have anything to look forward to reveal. So that's really what it's saying over here. The evil of the foolish, the person has foolish lips, he loves it, he becomes tired through giving forth his ideas, and no longer does he want to carry out his harm. Rashi. So, the evil sifasayim yilaveil. What did Rashi bring out that point? Rashi. The evil. Let me see. Pasuk ches. Pasuk. Wait. This is pasuk. Chacham lev yikach mitzvos. The evil sifasayim yilaveil. Correct. Right. Exactly. The is repetition. You're right. We're going to have another pasuk in a few moments that's going to have some repetition. So, what's the significance over here? Chacham lev yikach mitzvos ve'evil sifasayim. So, what did Rashi? What did the mitzudos say there? We did this on Friday. Let's go back to pasuk ches in the mitzudos. Yikach mitzvos yikochem b'chol etz v'lo yechtal milachas avot ha'evil miyageav hu asfasayim levad. That's what we learned on Friday. Of Omer Harbe, that's filu ma'at eino oise. Ephraim hachiti. Ephraim said he's going to give the land to Avram for free, and the end was he took 400 shekel kesef. So in that, so it has to be understood in its context, and we're going to have this idea in a few psukim from now. We're going to have another repetition. Right, the next pasuk Gid Aleph is also repetition. Fi rishom yichase chamos. So in Echadami has to be interpreted in its context. Back in pasuk Ches, there it means the lips of the fool are worn out. Emor harbe vafilu ma'at eino. In contrast to the chacham, who is chacham lika yikach mitzos, he does something right away. Here in pasuk Yud, it's an entirely different concept. It's koritz ainite natzeves. A person that's planning to do an avera, he's pumped up with energy, and he's going to cause sadness in the eyes of the victims because they know that he's going to carry out his plans. Whereas ve'avil sifasad yilaveit, the foolish person who gives forth his plans, he expends his energy, he's tired, he's not going to do any other. So in Echnami, it's all a matter of the context of how it's interpreted. Rashi Pasagit says, Koretz ayin hidin atzavetz zeh hamesis adam bekritzoysav l'ra'ah. This refers to a person that is a mesis. He entices a person to do an avera by winking. Same idea. As long as he's still winking with his eyes, he has not yet formulated a plan. He has not yet told anyone. He has pumped up with energy, and watch out. Once already he has expended that energy, then he's not such a great threat to other people. Pasuk Yud.
The Malam has a very different.
Yeah. What does he say? Yeah. It's a continuation of the previous pasuk.
He just has some sfeikas. He just has some questions that are bothering him.
Okay.
So that creates a tzevis.
But not pikoris, mamish. But the evil.
Even the second part of the pasuk seems to involve. Gamishu avil sfasayim. Even if he's only avil sfasayim, he's not looking for any wrong ways.
He becomes tired from his emunah, yilaveit, he
also has some,
and it becomes
articulate himself, he also has some.
So it's a continuation. Yeah, I saw the Mamlois, because I know the Mamlois quoted this Malbum. He said, I didn't understand what the Mamlois was saying. He actually quoted the Malbum, right, he said the Malbum. So it's a continuation of Pasuk Tes. Holech batoy mielach betach, a tzaddik who has emuna pshuta has no problems in life. But umaakesh derochav, so there are three madregos, saying three different madregos. Umaakesh derochav, someone that has sekus, and because I'm not a full maimin, I'm not going to eat kosher. Then koreitz, you wink with your eye, you don't mamish, it's not derochav. You don't mamish
change.
The holech, Makish Duracha means, you know what, I don't believe, I believe mostly, but not everything. Kosher, we live in the 21st century, I don't have to eat kosher. Because we know what's healthy, what's not healthy. Doctors know better. So that's Mamish Ma'akesh Derochav. He's in a lot of trouble. He is Yivode. Then you have the next Madrega. The Madrega of Kuretzayin. On the surface, he's 100% Shomer Shabbos. but he has big, serious, he's winging with his eyes. He's doing things that are very questionable. You can't get him. You can't mamish get him. So he, yitain atzav, he has a sad life because he's always living with tzeikus. And then the third madrega, the evil sivasai, no, he's a card-carrying member of the club, of the ultra-Orthodox community. Everything is, he dresses the part. You can't. But he's very critical. He's very critical of the hashkafa. So him yilaveit he's worn out. So it's a very interesting mahalach. It's very nice. So he's questioning his own hashkafa. That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible is saying there are three different levels of questioning your hashkafa. A person that's holech toim, he's betach. He lives a good life. Then there are three different types of people who more or less observe there what they've been trained to believe in.
Out of road.
But one, no, it's more than one. It's out of road, but one of them already goes off the derech. He's ma'akesh, that's the first part of the sequence. Ma'akesh derachav. He goes a shtickle off the derech. So he's in a lot of trouble. Then there's a person that doesn't go mamish off the derech, but he's winking with his eyes. He's somewhere in the middle. And then there's the person that's 100% on the derech, but is bitter. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this mitzvah and that mitzvah? I don't have faith in this one and that one. But everything he does is still 100%. He's not even on the madrega of winging with his eyes. He also becomes tired and worn out from his lack of emunah. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Yud Aleph, Makor Chayim Pi Tzadik. Now we go to new concept. The source of life is the mouth of a tzadik. Ufi Rishoim Yechase Chomes. And the mouth of the wicked is covered. It will be covered with violence. Now let us see first Pshat Pasuk Yud Aleph the Mitzudos. The Korach Chayim Pi Tzadik. We have to read these psukim backwards. The Mitzudos always tells us to take the words and read them out of order in order to make sense. The Pi Tzadik Hu Mekor Hanoivea Chayim. It is the source that brings forth life. The Olam in the world. Kibitzedek Imrei Piv. With Tzedek are the words of his mouth. Mevi Chayim Olam, and through his words, life comes to this world. Avol Pi Rishoyim Yidaber Mirma. Now here the Mitzvah says in the parish, Lechasois Al Machsheves Hachama Shebilavavoy. But the Rasha, he covers the Chamas that's in his heart. The Mitzudos adds many words into this pasuk to make sense out of the pasuk. What exactly? He's a faker. He's a charlatan. He's achas bepeh, viachas belev. In his heart, he's planning harm. He's planning to do harm, but he doesn't want people to know about it. So he speaks the party line. The pi of the Rasha, the pi Rishoim, yichaseh, it covers up the chomos that is hidden in their hearts. Now this pasuk was repeated as well. Okay, this pasuk was repeated as well. The end of the pasuk. We go back to pasuk vav. Pasuk brachos l'roish tzadik ufi rishom yichas chamas. And look at the mitzvahs over there. Yichas chamas. A chamas sheoisim yichas espiam. It was just the opposite. The chamas, the violence that they do. Yichas espiam will one day cover their mouths. In other words, they'll one day be punished. They'll be punished with violence. What is the violence? Execution. What's the execution? Strangulation. Leman yichanku ba ratzolaymar ha'avera atzma nifras mimenu. The chomos itself will cover the mouth of the rasha. When they put the rope around the neck, the noose around the neck of the rasha, so that chomos that's in a violent act, it will keep his mouth shut permanently. So you see here, even in the psukim, you have the exact same expression. It all depends on the context. On the context of the pasuk, it's interpreted entirely differently. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yud Aleph, Mekor Chayim Pi Tzadik, Upi Rishoyim Piyim Yichase Chamos. Their mouth, Rashi says the same thing as the Mitzudos, their mouths, Yichase Chamos Shebe Libam, covers the violence that is deep down in their hearts. What does this mean? She Machlikin Esif Sehem, they make their lips smooth. the sin of tumun b'libam, but there's really hatred that is buried in their hearts. Ve'ein pitzroin mikra zedevel pitzroin ha'elyoin. And Rashi points out that even this pasuk is not the same interpretation. These words, even though they are exactly the same as what it says in pasuk vav, but the interpretation is different. The inyan, the context, yoyre aleihem, advises us, teaches us how to interpret the pasuk. Okay, that's the yisoid always in Tanakh. You have to interpret the words based upon the context of where the words are found. Okay, the Medrash says, okay, there is no Medrash here, but everyone knows this pasuk. I saw this in the art school, it's the other place, I don't have any Medrashim here. It's always interpreted to the bracha of a tzaddik, even when the bracha is given derech agav. There are many stories with the Chofetz Chaim and with the Gra, where they gave a person a bracha, and by just derech agav, and the person lived extremely long. For example, there was a maisa where a person came to visit the Gra on Sukkos. And the Gra was in the Sukkah, and he was deeply immersed in learning. And he didn't even realize the person was standing there. So the person was standing and waiting and waiting and waiting, and the Gra did not pick up his eyes. So this guest interpreted the Gra's silence as meaning that he didn't like him. He was upset, he was angry at him. So the person ran away. Later he came back to the Gra and he said to the Gra, "How come I came to visit you and you ignored me? What did I do to you? Why were you so nasty to me?" So the Gra said, "Chas v'shalom, I didn't know you were there. I was deeply immersed in learning. How could I be upset at a person who comes to visit me? You should live a long life." He gave him like a bracha derech agav. "You should live a long life. I don't have any tightness on you. I love you. You're my friend. And you should be gesund and well." I think he said you should live to 100 years. And indeed, he lived. He was 98 years old, and he was critically ill. And the family began to make funeral preparations. He sensed that the family thinks he's going to die, and he says, "I'm not going yet. I have a bracha from the Gra. 2 more years. I'm not going yet. Don't worry. Don't make any preparations. Don't call the funeral director." And indeed, he lived for another 2 years. He died exactly when he was 100 years old. That's the legend. That's the story. The art school. The art school. Rishleyan with footnote. It quotes the story. I saw the story. All many gedolim they say the story about. They say it more. I think more often about the Chofetz Chaim. The lot of stories of the Chofetz Chaim where. Just stories. The person did the Chofetz Chaim a favor. Children, they did the Chofetz Chaim a favor. So the Chofetz Chaim, he put his hand on their head and he said, "Oh, you should live long. You should be gesund. You should live long." And these people lived exceptionally long lives.
Shimon Peres.
Shimon Peres.
He was 6 years old. Started to do the Chofetz Chaim.
And they gave him a bracha. Farichas yamim. Success. Well, bli ayin hara. He's what? Okay, but interesting. Mikor Chaim, don't under. I guess this is why we are obsessed today. People are obsessed with getting brachas from tzaddikim. People, I know someone going there to Shaul, and what is he doing? He's going to all the gedolim for brachas. That's his agenda. What?
Dead and alive.
Mostly alive. Only mostly alive. Last time I went to Eretz Yisrael, I went to a lot of kvarim. Just now, curious, I went to kvarim. So I was in Bnei Brak, and I asked someone, one of the locals, "Where is the Beis HaKvaris? I want to go to the Beis HaKvaris in Bnei Brak. I want to see the Chazon Ish, all the various gedolim." So he says to me, "What? You come from America to go to the Beis HaKvaris? You go to the living gedolim. What are you going to the dead? You go to the living gedolim." And he made an impression on me. He's right. You need to come to the Beis HaKvaris. What? Don't worry. They have a deposit. You can make a deposit there also. Okay, but this is a very powerful pasuk. Mekor chayim pi tzaddik. The mouth of a tzaddik is a source of life. If a tzaddik gives you a bracha, it's serious business. This is the mekor of life. Pasuk yud beis. Sina to'orer midonim li'alkol pishoim techase ahava. This is an amazing pasuk. Hatred awakens quarrels, which means old quarrels. the al kol pishoim, and even for the worst sins, tichase ahava, love covers. Let's see the mitzudos. Love conquers, exactly. Love conquers, pasuk yud beis. Pasuk yud beis, sinna. Hasinna sheyesh la'adam al mi, a hatred that one has towards someone else. He mereres midanim, it awakens quarrels. Lasos meriva, to quarrel. Ulahakbid al dover kal, even the smallest little thing is an issue. Avol ahava avas adam lachaver, a person loves his friend to chas al kol devar pesha, it covers devar pesha. Avol yakbid af al dover avol, not avol. It says here abba. So
it doesn't make sense.
What's the word? Yesterday I was preparing in a shul, and I was took it off the shelf, and it was a hagos. Someone with their handwriting fixed this word. what was the word? I'm thinking what he said. Aval avas adam l'chaver t'chas al kol dvar pesha. I forgot what he wrote. Someone wrote something. There's one letter. He changed one letter, and it made sense. He added one letter. Hinrisa. I've got some correction. It's the person will not be makbid af al davar kosha. I saw this in a very sure shul. It's very impressive. You go into a shul and you take off a sefer off the shelf, and there's a mistake, and someone already corrected it. It's pretty good. It's not there. So next time you go to a very sure shul, take out the mishle, take a look there. Someone made the correction. Okay, so this is what it says here, that love conquers. Well, let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis, he quotes the Medrash. We'll discuss that in a moment. The sin in Torah Medonim, hatred awakens quarrels. Now, according to the Mitzudos did not learn the word to orer in the past tense. The quarrels are new quarrels. According to the Mitzudos, a careful reading of the Mitzudos tells us that a person, he hates his friend. Reuven does not like Shimon. They just don't get along. Therefore, Reuven is looking to find problems. Reuven is looking to make trouble. He does not like the color of his tie. He doesn't like where he sits. He doesn't like what he's doing. He's looking for new things as a reason to provoke, to make a quarrel. That's how the Mitzudos Lamshan, the Pasuk, to orer, it arouses, midonim. Midonim means new reasons to quarrel with your friend. Rashi says a different interpretation. It's old problems. That was 30 years ago, you didn't say good morning to me. So I didn't say good morning to you 30 years ago. In the meantime, look how we've been good friends. But 30 years ago, so if right now you don't like someone, right now you have a quarrel, there's something that you don't like about someone, you will remember all of the nasty things he did to you from 30 years ago. Sinna, hatred, to orer, it arouses, midonim, old quarrels. Rashi says, even a sin that was long forgotten, Niskeres al yidei berivas avoinos, is remembered now through quarreling. Avoinos al marbis avoinos, through new sins. Bo sinna achroina, new sinna umil oirosan, a new sinna comes and arouses, awakens the old sinna. Now, where do we learn this from? Yecheskel. Yecheskel, what?
The word is Leval.
Leval yakbid, lamed. Leval yakbid afam.
Another version.
Wow.
Okay. So here we have the alcohol b'sham. So here umareres shekein yicheskel. We learn this from. So that when someone will open it up one day, say, "Wow." Someone actually learned this. Okay, over here Rashi brings the Makar from Yecheskel. Yecheskel lived 900 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, the Bayis Rishon took place approximately 900 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim. We say this in the Kinos. In the Kinos, we actually mentioned one of the Kinos that was 900 years, and the Perishtir is 900 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim. And all of a sudden, Hashem is complaining to Klal Yisrael about the sins they did in Egypt, the abominations they did in Egypt. What? Egypt? Who mentioned Egypt? We've been out of Egypt 900 years. The answer is, now that you're doing Averis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it reminds Hashem of the sins that took place even 900 years ago. Shekin Yecheskel Ochiach Has Yisrael Al Averos Shemitzrayim V'Yom Elohem Ish each person as she could say enough hishlicho, the abominations of his eyes he shall throw away. Kamos Rashi explains kamos sina zo kavosha. Look how much this hatred was kavusha, was suppressed for 900 years. V'loy hiskiru lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem did not mention this ad Ashram until now. Shehirbu averos al peshem, and now at this point in time they did more averos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remind him. The al on the other hand, the al kol peshem techasav. On the other hand, in contrast to this, all sins are covered with love. Kisha Yisrael meitiv maasim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechas al peshem. The Klal Yisrael does good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu covers up their sins. Hashem hides all their sins. Kol peshem. Okay, so I'll just read the whole medrash. The medrash there. Okay, really, Rashi quoted. I'll leave it with you. The medrash quoted that medrash where 900 years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was complaining to Yecheskel about the sins that Klal Yisrael did 900 years ago. That is the nature. But love conquers. They always say this about shidduchim. When someone's in shidduchim and they're looking for a girl, so they go out with a girl. They come home. They talk to their parents. So what do you say about this shidduch? Well, I don't like what the father does. I know one of the brothers. I don't like the brother. You know, the girl, she's a little bit too frum for me. You're nitpicking every little thing, but everything is pretty good, no worse than anything else. This is no good, that's no good. Teretz is, you don't really like her. You don't really like her. Every little thing is a chasarin. But then you go with a girl, and the girl is totally not for the guy. The father, the hashkaf of the families totally don't connect. And the girl is either way too modern or way too from. And the girl, everything doesn't stem. There are a million things wrong. But the boy likes the girl. He likes her. He just likes her. When you like her, everything is good. Everything is good. It's mamish, but it says there, y'all call peshoim, all the peshoim, all of the sins, techasa, ahava, love conquers all. Asura, love is mekakel, even things which are correct, love overcomes. And this is definitely dvarim pshutim ad ma'o. We see this in many, many areas of our life. And it is an amazing medrash here. This medrash, I have no idea what it means. I have no understanding what this means, but I'll read you what it says. Always, the medrash appears in Eliyahu Rabbah, Parsha Gimel. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Eliyahu Rabbah? Where is Eliyahu Rabbah? Tana de Bei Eliyahu Rabbah. Okay. Parsha Gimel. It says that, I always wondered about this in the next world. I once heard Matthew Solomon speak about the internet. And he said, it was very dramatic how he said it, every website that you go to, in the Olam HaMS, all of your friends and family are going to know about. You go all alone, no one's watching, you think no one's there, and you go and you look in different websites, you have to make that cheshbon. Are you willing to let it be known that your family and friends are going to be aware of this? That's what's going to be in the Olam HaEmes. Okay, scary stuff. Now, you can say that about every, I love going on the website, everything a person does. So the question is, we don't know how these things work. We always say a million times, no one ever came back to tell us what goes on there. But we always wonder, what is it like exactly? To what degree are our sins revealed in the next world in front of other people? We all know good and well that we couldn't walk the streets if everyone knew what we were thinking and everyone knew what we do, knew about our sins, our private sins. It's no one's business. Mind your own business. I have my problems. I'm working on them. We're working. Everyone has their nisyonos. No one should judge anyone else. We all know that to be a fact. But what about in the Olam HaEmes? When our neshamas leave the guf, to what degree do our friends, our family, other people who in this world respect us, who think that we are good people, and when they discover that we have this defect, we've done certain things, what are they going to think of us? So we have no, really, I don't think anyone can give us an answer to this. I think Rav Matasiel Solomon, I think he was just exaggerating a little bit, trying to make a point. He was just trying to make a point to get people, to put people into shape. But the Medrash here says something amazing. Dover Acher, Mayim, ma mayim chasem ervosoy shel yam. Just like water covers the nakedness of the sea. The yam is naked. The seabed, the floor of the ocean, according to the Medrash, is the erva. Just like no person would walk the streets naked, so too the yam is embarrassed.
That's called the ervas aretz.
So the yam has an erva, and the yam, the seas, they cover the erva. Shenemar, kamayim, layom, mechasim. The water covers the seas. Kach, so the Medrash goes on. Divrei Torah, mechasim, ervosam shel Yisrael. Shenemar, vialkol, pishoim, techase ava. The water, the mitzvos, Torah, covers the erva of Yisrael. Now, I think I saw this more explicitly in another medrash, where it even refers to Olam HaEmes. I think I don't have it over here. Even in the Olam HaEmes, I have it in the other sefer, that the learning a person does will serve as a malbush that will cover the neshama in the next world. No one has to know about your private shortcomings. Just like in this world, we all walk around without any shame, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu created this thing that we're able that our sins are concealed. Likewise, in the next world will also be some degree of shelter from shame. And what will be those clothing, those articles of clothing that will shelter us from our shortcomings? All of the Torah and mitzvos that we accumulate in this world. And how do we know this? We know this from this pasuk, this very pasuk. The alkol pishoim, for all of our transgressions, techase, literally, ahava. What is ahava? Torah and mitzvos are called ahava. How do we know it's called ahava? He quotes many psukim. I have to go find it over here, but there are many psukim which tell us that Torah is called mo'ahavti sarasecha kol hayom hi sichasi. How much do I love Torah? It is my conversation. Torah is called ahava. Therefore, the ahava will cover for us in the next world all of our pishoim. Okay, now what does this mean exactly? We don't really know, but it is some sense of comfort to know that just as in this world there is some degree of shelter from erva, from shame, in the next world as well there will be some degree of shelter from erva through Torah and Masim Tovim. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel Sipse Navon Timotze Chachma. The lips of the Navon you will find Chachma. The Shevet Legev Chasarle, but a rod to the back of one who is foolish. And what does this mean? The pasuk Yud Gimel Lemitzudos Sipse Navon Kasha Yishalu Mo Mehanavon Timsa Beshuvas Imrei Piv Gam Chachma Haskel Gam Shevet Musa Legav Chasar. When you ask a Chacham something, he will respond with wise words. Gam Chachmas Haseichel, gam shevet hamusul legav chasar leib. There's also going to be a rod of musar to the back of the foolish person. Ki bedvarav, in his words, yigane masav chasar leib, v'sechoshev lo l'shevet hamiyaser, and it's considered to be a rod of punishment. Okay, I'm not really sure what that means. Maybe you can you figure this out for me. I don't.
I think when from the tenth say Navon, you get chachma. And not only that, but you'll also get the Musar against the Chasar Leib, and that's just like, you know, backhand slide.
No, a Chacham who hears Musar.
Yeah.
First who hears Musar, he's not dumb, gets Chachma from it. But if you're a novel, or a chasar leiv, then you think the guy's attacking you. When he gives you musa, you say, why are you hitting me? Why are you attacking me?
So let's read the words inside. I don't understand. Let's read the words inside. Rashi is very... Don't look. Rashi is completely different. Rashi is very simple. We'll get to Rashi in a few moments. But let's first do Mesudas. Kasha yishalu mome anov. When you ask a question, I'm coming to ask a novel a question. Timsa b'shuvasa imre sifasav gam chochmas haseichel.
You'll get chokmah. You'll understand the
wisdom.
Response.
Okay, now what's now what is it now?
And
gam
shevet musar the gav chasar leiv. You will also understand from what he says. This is musar for somebody who's a chasar leiv. Keep it devar of yigane masa chasar leiv.
From his words, you will pick up Musa. The entire pasuk is addressing the Navon. The second half of the pasuk going to the Musa is also discussing the Navon. Besivse Navon timatze chachma. The lips of the Navon will bring forth chachma, and also we have to add the words. The sifse Navon will also be a shevet. Will be rebuke. Will be equivalent to a rod of legave to the back of a foolish person. So a wise person knows how to deal with all different types of people. He knows how to respond to a wise man, and he knows how to respond to a foolish person.
More than that, the single response works for both.
Okay. The single response works. Okay, very good. Okay. Rashi says something entirely different. Rashi breaks the pasuk into two parts. Rashi says that a sif sinavim timotzi chachma, when you give musa to a chacham, he responds with chachma. And the mashli gives his nasan David. When nasan hanavi said to David, gave him the mashal, Basheva Uri Achiti and Basheva, that you have taken Basheva illegally, or it was not proper how you took her before she was divorced or before her husband died. How did Nasan respond? Chotasi. So in other words, the godless of the lips of the Navon will always confess guilt. When a Navon acknowledges he's guilty, when a wise man is aware that he is guilty, he will confess and will not try to cover up his guilt. On the other hand, a Rasha, a foolish person, a Chasar Lev, will never cover up his guilt, but will only acknowledge his guilt through punishment, through going to trial. You'll have to take a rod, a whip, and whip his back, legave, the shevet, a rod, legave to the back, chasalev. And the example for the second of the pasuk is Paro. Paro, aniv, ami, horishoyim. When did Paro finally admit that himself and his nation are wicked? Only after 10 makos. Only after he was whipped. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro in the very beginning, Paro said, nothing doing, I'm not letting you people go, no matter what. So only after he suffered the punishment of the 10 makos was he willing to admit that indeed I am guilty, ani v'ami harishohim. Besif se navon timotzi chachma, the lips of the navon will bring forth chachma, will immediately admit his guilt, like Nasan said to Nasan Navi Chotasi, I have taken Basheva in a way that was not proper, but the shevet, but for when it comes to the chasar leif, Paro, he needs a shevet, a rod, to come and whip legave his back, to punish him. Rashi, Kishadam Mechich Lenavon, Meshiv Lo Chotasi. Kigoyim David, Sha'amah Lenosan, like David said to Nosan, Chotasi. However, in Kanjit Rashavim Legev Chasar Lev, Aval Chasar Lev, Eina Shemea, I will not listen, as Sheyilke Kimo Paro, Paro did not listen until he was smitten. We all know that in history, all of the great people, they suffered their downfall not because of the crimes they committed, but because of the cover up. Right? What would have happened if Nixon would have admitted his guilt?
The cover-up
is much worse. What would have happened if Nixon would have admitted his guilt immediately? It would have been a different world.
Yes.
Right? What would have happened if Clinton would have immediately admitted his guilt?
Well, we don't know, because most people do cover-ups, and we never see the other side of things.
We never see the other side. Okay, that's right. That's a good point. Very good. That's right. Most will get away with it. Most people get away with it. Okay, so... We don't know the other side. Now, another quick idea I saw in the article, Legev is Bigamatria 39. Lamed Gimel Vavis 39. How many lashes does a person get?
39.
So the Shevet here refers to Malchus. This is a remez that a person only gets 39, a max of 39 lashes. Pasik Yud Dal. Let me just see if I left out any Midrashim from this Sefer. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk yud dalet. Chachamim yitzpinu das, and wise people they cherish. Yitzpinu, they treasure tzofen, they treasure knowledge. Ufia vil mechita kreva, but the mouth of the fool, his destruction is near. Mechita means destruction. His destruction. Let's see. Pasuk gidal mizudas davi yitzpinu das af hadas mastirim lebal higolos kiyim leharuyim la. the Yitzmudas, they do not reveal wisdom to anyone. They don't cheapen wisdom. They only reveal wisdom to people that are fit for wisdom. You don't teach...
They don't publish on the internet.
Okay, you don't... They hide af hadas mastirim, they hide lebal higolos, not to reveal kiim leharuim la, only for people that are fit for wisdom. Because what do they think? They think themselves emes. A person that does not appreciate the depth, the truth of these words will abuse, will misinterpret, and will abuse these words. Avol pik sil, but a foolish person tagidavar asher hamachte kroiva, which brings destruction. Utat is designated lovo bavura, and it's designated and it's swift to come destruction because of the things that he says. Veinachosh is foolish, doesn't realize that when he opens up his mouth, he's just bringing about his own. He's bringing about his own downfall very, very soon. Correct. Let's see Rashi pasuk gedal chachamim yitzmudas yishmeru lebelibam shelo yishrichu. So Rashi has an entirely different interpretation. According to Rashi, does not mean that you hold back; it means that they review. Yitzmenu means das. It means you have to continuously review what you have learned in order that it should be treasured, should remain with you. Okay, fine. That.
How do you interpret the second half of the pasuk?
Mechita krova. There, I guess it means that it's going to be lost. They don't review. They don't review what they learn. They don't chazer, and therefore whatever is in their mind very quickly is destroyed. It falls out of their head. The only way to retain knowledge is to continuously review what you have learned. The wicked people, their destruction, meaning that their knowledge will be destroyed, will be lost from them, that is very swift because they have no plan in reviewing what they have learned. I think the Medrash, in fact, says that. So I think I don't have it over here. The other sefer talks about this pasuk is a pasuk that also refers to reviewing learning. Okay, pasuk tezvav. Choyin Asher, the wealth of the rich man is Kiryas Uzo, the wealth of the rich man is a mighty city. A mighty city makes for himself, a wealthy man makes for himself a mighty city. But Nechita Stalim, Resham, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. A poor person, the mechitas also means it means destruction. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk tezvav. Hoy nashir mamon heasher hiloy lemachse. The wealth of a rich man is a refuge. Kiir mivtzar is like a city, a protected, fortified city. And what are we referring to? Mitzuda says, don't take this pasuk literally because wealth is not a guarantee for anything, but it means here, v'yala osher b'tari yidab. We're talking about a person who's wealthy in Torah. However, in contrast to the Talmud Chacham, the mechitas dal, the mechitas shiver in hadalim, the Torah, someone who is very poor, dal here means ein ani elavadas, a person that is not maritz. He and Yusam, this is their poverty. Kibavur chesar na Torah, because of lack of the Torah, yishru machi, they will be destroyed quickly. That not having any Torah knowledge is a source of destruction for a person. Rashi, chacham, pasuk tazav, hoin asher Torah. Rashi also says, refers to Torah, kiryas uzo, hilo, the wealth of Torah will be for a Talmud Chacham like the equivalent of a mighty city. On the other hand, mechita stalim, resham, and the Yusam, their poverty, Shlei Asku B'Torah, their poverty, they have not learned in Torah, Hi Mechitasam, that will be the source of their destruction. So we have to translate the words backwards. We have to take the word, we have to take the poverty of the Dal, the poverty of the Resha, means the poverty of the poor person who has not studied Torah, Mechitas will be the source of their destruction. Okay, do I have any here, any medrash? So the medrash here says who these referring pasuk referring to. One medrash in Devarim Rabbah refers to Eliphaz verse. No, that's the next pasuk. Okay, that I'm sorry, that's going right to. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Pasuk Tes Zayin Pula Sadik Lechaim Tuvas Rasha Lechatas. The work of a tzaddik results in life, and the produce of a rasha results in lechatas, results in sin. Pasuk tazayin in mitzudos, pulas, maaseh hatzadik, the deeds of a tzadik, he sibo, it is a cause lechayim. Avo pri maaseh harasha, but the fruits of the rasha, he sibo lehachsir, yimei chayv, the cause them to die prematurely. Rashi pasuk tes zayin pulas sadik l'chayim kimashmo umedesh agada Shlomo asa pulas hamigdash l'chayehem shel Yisrael l'chaparasan. However, utuvas Rasha tuvaso shalom that tuvaso or have asa. We're going to make a drasha, change the tough into a hay. Have asa shalmanasha shehichnis loy hasemel he haisa l'chatas. We're contrasting the first king, the one who built the Beis Hamikdash, against the last one, the one who brought about the Churban, the Beis Hamikdash, Menashe. The one that built the Beis Hamikdash is Shlomo HaMelech. He toiled very hard to build the Beis Hamikdash, which resulted l'chayim. It was a bracha for Klal Yisrael, it brought life, it brought kapara, and blessing for Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, who the tzvua, the produce of the foolish person, referring here to his great-great-great-grandson, Menashe. Menashe was the the beginning of the end. Menashe and Amon, and then that led to the very end, they already brought in idols into the Mikdash itself. Menashe brought an idol into the Heichal, Amon brought an idol into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that was the beginning of the end. That is when the Shechina began, the Shechina left the Beis HaMikdash. That brought about the destruction. So we interpret this pasuk of Pula Sadik L'chaim in reference to Shlomo. Tevuas Rasha, Tevuas means the Peros, the fruit of the Rasha. L'chatos, it only leads to sin. There is no longer Kapara, and when there is no Kapara, the sin remains. He brought about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there is another there are other medrashim, but we'll leave that. Up to pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, it's finished.
I want to be here next few days, maybe Friday, whenever.
Okay. Thank you very much. Who's this?
Aaron Fruchter.
Who's Aaron Fruchter?
I worked with him.
That's my cousin. That's Howie's brother.
Howie Fruchter's brother?
Yes.
Really? I remember him.
He's also a close friend of Dr. Phil.
I remember him. He would come every once in a while to the Young Israel.
Oh, yeah?
I actually once tried out in that shul.
In
the Gavins.
In
Bell Harbor. Yeah. He was one of the main Balabatim in Bell Harbor. Right. So he was nifter. Wow, he's a young man.
Yeah.
How old was he?
He's a little older than me.
73, 75, somewhere between 70.
Yeah, I remember him. Wow. This is a sudden thing. How long was he sick?
About a year.
That's it. Wow.
Who died?
We worked together for quite a while, so. Brilliant man. Very
young. What did he do? What was his.
He and I were colleagues.
What was his profession?
As an auditor.
It's good.
I think Dr. Phil is very close with him also. I don't know if he knows yet.
Who's the rabbi in Bill Harbor now?
Now? It's a different one.
There went through already a few.
Used to be Reiner.
A long time ago.
In my wife's show when she was growing
up. Where is Reiner now?
I don't know. I guess he's
gone.
Emeritus? I don't know.
And who then?
He was a rabbi when my wife lived in Holyoke.
I tried out there. I went there.
Yeah, well, sure. There was also a tiny young Israel in Bell Harbor that he went the whole thing.
I tried to be his assistant.
He didn't really live near there. He lived in the different. He lived near where that plane crashed.
Yeah, it's a big conservative shul there too,
It's not so big. The whole Bell Harbor is not so big.
No,
it's like four blocks.
But he lived a little bit further down.
You still have yeshiva?
It's a summer. It's very busy in the summertime. That's when all the action is. In the winter, there's no one there.
It's now starting to get
mucked. Yep.
It's a whole sefer on Moshe.
Many Sfarim, yeah. There are. I know at least five from a Muksa.
Purple and gray
Badner. Badner, or a Sefer Muksa. Our article has two Sfarim. One is very comprehensive, very thick.
A long time ago.
Badner, yeah. He was, and then there's another one by Simcha Bunim Kohn. Practical. It's very, very good. A practical approach to Muksa. And then there are another two books I know of. Two. One is more like an index. It lists every possible household item you can imagine. Anything you can possibly imagine. I think it says 2,000 items. 2,000 items, and it tells you what their status is. Muksa. But when is the Levaya?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
He died?